This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And I still don't believe it.
I've never believed it. It's too good to be true.
Very good. We are joined by Mr. John Schell, who is a docent at the U.S. Air Force Museum and also an author. And you've written a book. Tell us about your book.
Well, it's actually a paper.
Oh, okay.
And the paper's about the SA-2 and the U-2, the rest of the story, just like Pearl Harvey. It's about the shoot-down of Gary Powers in 1960 in a U-2, and I've discovered information that was hidden for many years in the Soviet archives and put it all together in a nice story, and it's been published, and I'll be talking tomorrow at the EA Theater.
Okay, so over at the museum.
Yeah.
The first question that comes to mind is, how do you even get into the Soviet archives?
Well, I didn't get in personally, but I talked to some folks in the Soviet Union by writing them an email in Russian, and they had researched it, and I got information from them. And there's several authors in there that in the Soviet Union had published papers, but they were in Russian.
Right. Okay, yeah. So you just basically found those, got a hold of those guys.
Yep.
And they were happy to talk with you.
Well, one of them was a son of one of the participants.
Oh, wow.
He was very happy to have somebody in English actually bring the information out to the English language.
That's interesting. So there's a lot more that we just don't know.
Yes, a lot of pieces come together, and I found it very interesting to put it all together.
Okay, can you elaborate on maybe a little bit of it? Give us a teaser.
Well, the shootdown was supposedly just a single missile against the U-2, but it actually turned out to be 8 missiles, 2 of them fired at the U-2, and 6 Soviet airplanes.
Oops. I guess they didn't have those little ID cards.
No.
Don't shoot this one.
They didn't have ID cards. It was a real air war in the skies. And tomorrow in my discussion, I'll actually point out how that happened. You know, how did it come that they went after their own airplanes?
Well, I guess somebody was panicking on the ground.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of confusion because that was the first use of the SA-2 against any aircraft of the Soviet Union was May 1st, 1960.
Wow.
Now, how high was Gary Powers when he got shot down?
Well, he was 70,000 feet. Now, at his trial, he told them a little bit lower because they didn't really want to reveal how high the U-2 could go.
Okay.
He told them about 68,000, but he was flying at 70,000 feet.
Wow, that's impressive that they got him.
It's got to be a great view, but...
Yeah.
Well, and the theory with the U-2 was that it was... They couldn't get to it. The Russian SA missiles... They couldn't get to it because of restrictions.
Initially, they couldn't. The missiles couldn't get that high. But by 1960 now, they had built missiles that could get that high. And there was some concern in the Eisenhower administration about were they able to actually now shoot down the U-2. And so there was a...
So let's send one over and find out.
Yeah.
And it happened.
It did happen, yes.
And it caused a big stink over in Russia, too, as I recall.
Oh, it caused a lot of problems with the relationships between the United States and the Soviet Union at the Paris Accords in May of 60. So the shootdown was really put the chill back into the Cold War, so to speak, because they had now shot down a spy pilot. In fact, Gary Powers Jr. will be here tomorrow, just in front of my talk, talking about Spy Pilot, which is about his dad and his recovery after the shootdown, return to the United States.
That had to be a tense time because 1960, the Cold War was really heating up. Khrushchev was in command of Russia at the time, and he was not known for being easy to get along with.
No. And there was some hope that there was going to be a little bit of a loosening them up of the Cold War. But after the shootdown, and President Eisenhower initially denied it, and then he did admit it, we were flying over Soviet Union spying, that really put a new chill, as I say, into the Cold War.
Now, you were saying that the administration was concerned about being shot down. Were they surprised when he was shot down?
To some extent, some people were surprised. The CIA actually knew a little bit more than the president, and they didn't tell him everything. They had actually detected that there were early warning radars detecting the U-2 as it was flying into the Soviet Union. and that would be a advanced warning for the shoot-down radars. So that was information the CIA kept to itself, didn't relay to Eisenhower, and he might have canceled that last flight if he had known that.
Well, the incident where Gary Bowers got shot down, 8 missiles went up. Did they nail any of their own aircraft?
Yes, they did. They shot down a MiG-19, and they almost shot down an SU-9. So, so they almost had
mixed
two.
Bag. Do you put the silhouette on your launcher or not?
Yeah, and in fact, that's probably one of the reasons all the information was buried, because the people responsible for that shootdown didn't want to reveal how poorly they had handled that. So by classifying all the information, burying it in the archives, only releasing what Khrushchev wanted to hear, kind of protected their careers.
I was going to say they would have done time in Siberia if the truth had come out.
Yeah, and they probably would have. And they got promoted, as a matter of fact, because they were successful in bringing down Gary Bowers.
Well, here's another question. We're talking about the MiG-19 pilot that got shot down. Did he survive?
No. He died. He got the Order of the Red Banner, which is the very highest honor they could get. And he did not survive the shootdown.
So Gary Bowers, in reality, was extremely lucky.
He was. He was very lucky because we had several aircraft that could have shot him down. We had the SA-2s, and he was very lucky that his aircraft went into a spin, and he was able to eventually push out of that spin and parachute to Earth.
Well, thank goodness he did that.
Yeah, no kidding.
And then he probably thought to himself on the way down, okay, now what?
what was Gary Bowers' experience being in a Russian gulag while his trial and everything
went
on?
Well, as it turned out, he was treated actually fairly nicely. They were pumping him for information, trying to catch him in a lie, and he never told a lie. He just didn't reveal all that he knew about the U-2. He only revealed what he knew they could find out anyway. So as far as the Soviets knew, he had honestly answered all their questions, and he wasn't put on. He was not sentenced to death. He was just sentenced to imprisonment, in which eventually he was traded for a Soviet spy.
Right. That exactly was the sentence.
Right.
Keep him until we could find somebody to trade for.
Yeah.
Well, that's the way it works out in the spy community.
But it's an interesting story. It's been 3 years of research, and many other people have contributed.
Well, 3 years, how many hours do you figure you've spent over those 3 years?
I have no idea. I just know that this started with COVID in 2020. I was in the basement working on this, and my wife has called down many times, "Aren't you finished yet?" And the answer is no.
Talk about going down a rabbit hole.
No, I was going to say, it's the never-ending story. The more you find out,
the more you discover.
Yeah, exactly.
The more questions.
It's like forensics. You have to kind of put all the pieces together.
Wow.
So how long was Gary Bowers in captivity?
18 months until he was treated, yes.
Okay, that was actually less than I thought.
Yeah, I was figuring, actually that was more than I thought. I figured.
Well, remember, we hadn't done the spy trading back then yet.
Yes.
So
that was a whole new area, if you want to call it, adventure.
Yeah.
I'll bet Khrushchev was furious, too. That way you shot him down.
Well, he was actually furious that we were spying, and he felt like now he had caught the United States in a lie, which he had. And he was very happy, though, that we were able to stop the overflights by shooting. They were able to stop it by the shootdown.
For a little while, anyway.
For a little while.
Did they recover the camera gear and everything that was on the YouTube?
They did. They recovered the camera gear. They were able to process the film. In fact, the camera was the most most complex thing on the airplane. It's more valuable than the airplane itself. And there's supposedly a mechanism which could explode the camera as he fell, but Bowers couldn't get to that. And so they were able to capture the camera and process the film.
Ooh, that's a big coup for the Russians.
Yeah,
because now they could figure out exactly what we could see.
Exactly, right.
And not only that, but they could probably reverse engineer their own version of the camera.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but I don't think they ever flew any spy planes over the U.S.
Not that we know of.
Just one interesting thing is his son is a source of some of this information, Sergei Khrushchev. His son later became an American citizen. He immigrated to the United States.
Wow.
He did. And you know what he is? His job was? He's a rocket scientist.
Oh, my goodness. I wonder if he changed his last name when he came in.
I don't know. Became American citizen. And part of my research has been papers that he wrote.
That's funny.
Wow.
Talk about strange coincidence.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he loved Mother Russia, huh?
Yeah.
Couldn't wait to get out.
To leave. Okay.
Well, thanks, Jason.
Well, when is your talk again, your presentation?
Tomorrow at 1 o'clock at EA Museum, Skyscape Theater or something like that, yeah.
Right, right. Well, tomorrow, 1 o'clock. Be there.
Or B Square.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Boy, dating himself there.
Find out the real skinny about the Cold War.
That's right.
The rest of the story.
The rest of the story. This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.